You ever notice at times the silence, it can be overwhelming and even deafening, you know? I mean, what do you do, friends, when you're going through something, it doesn't make sense? You know, what do you do when you're struggling and God seems like he's silent? It's not what you planned. It's not what you've been praying for. And the fact is, it makes you feel like you're walking alone, that you're lost, and that silence can be overwhelming, actually disturbing at points, because you keep asking for answers, don't you? You know, keep asking for some relief along the way. You know, you just keep asking why, and it's the sound of silence. We have all been there at some point, and the fact is, some of you today, you go, yeah, that's where I'm at today. You know, you ever look at the world and you wonder, what in the world's going on? Yeah? I mean, you see all the tension, you see chaos, all the violence, you see conflicts, and you think, where's God in the midst of this? And if you're like me, I mean, you're going, if I was God, you know, I'd do this, I'd fix this, you know, I'd do things a little bit different than God's doing them. And I'm going to tell you up front today that as we kind of proceed, you're not going to like some of the things that I'm going to say, some of the stuff that we're going to talk about, because the fact is it's a tough topic, and we're going to look at a very difficult kind of story here. How many of you have ever prayed and it seemed like God wasn't listening? I mean, hello darkness, my old friend. Come to talk to you again. But there's silence. It's just, the only thing is silence in life. And sometimes you hear these amazing stories where everything works out, you know. And then you look at the situation in your life and you're thinking, well, it's not working out for me. You know, sometimes people out of ignorance, sometimes it's just they're being insensitive. And so you're going through something in your life, and it's really difficult. And then they come along, and they're like praising God because they got a great parking spot at the Cardinal game or something, you know. And you're like, you sit there, you don't say anything, but you're thinking, you make me sick. You know. Now, part of the problem, perhaps, is that as pastors tend to share the what I'll call the positive stories. You know, they show the positive results in life, and then as they're kind of unfolding the faith. And so you get all these stories going on where faith results in victory. You know, faith results in God's power being evident, and everything works out. And so you hear that and you go, wow, you know, God came through that. That's an amazing thing. But you also sit there and you think, that didn't happen for me. Been there? I mean, maybe you look at your friends. Yeah, they're blessed. Their families are flourishing. You know, vocationally, they're thriving. Financially, they're prospering. And you see all these things coming together for them. But while you're going through your struggles, again, inside, you're thinking, you know, I'm faithful to God. I mean, they barely acknowledge God. I mean, what's up with that? Where's God in my situation? I mean, what do you do when you pray and you pray and it seems like God's not concerned? You know, it feels like God's not listening. And so here's kind of the key thought I want you to get. Just because God is silent does not mean God's absent. And just because you may not hear God does not mean that God doesn't hear you. You know, when you're surrounded by this silence, I want you to understand God is with you. God is with you in that. You know, there's a story in Scripture, and I've always found it challenging. And to be honest, I do not like the way the story ends up. And it's a story about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, this is not John the disciple, by the way. This is John the Baptist. He's the baptizer. He's Jesus's cousin. And John is this radical prophet. He's foretold his ministries about the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah. And he's kind of unconventional. I'll say he's like a New Testament hippie, okay? I mean, he wore animal skins. His diet consisted, you're going to love this, locusts and honey. Yeah. He lived off the grid, this guy did. John is extremely popular, but he has no filter. He just boldly speaks the truth. And that's what we're going to find out gets him in trouble. Gets him in trouble with King Herod Antipas at the time. And to kind of better understand this situation, I'll give you a little bit of the backstory here. So King Herod Antipas was married. He becomes interested in his brother's wife. And her name's Herodias. And so he's interested in her. I guess she was cute. They're flirting back and forth. They both get a divorce, and Herod marries her. I mean, it's a scandal, all right? You know, first century, it's a top trending story out there. John the Baptist, he gets up in their business, and he posts, you know, this is wrong, this is sinful. It goes viral. The whole country's talking about it now. Herodias, she throws a fit. You know, she hates John the Baptist now. And so Herod has John arrested, and we'll pick it up here. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother's, Philip's wife. See, Mark's wanting us to understand what's happening here, because Herod had married her, for John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. John's comments are not welcome, all right? It says, and Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not. See, here's the tension. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. So, do you get the picture here? Herod, he doesn't like the comments, but he believes that John's a godly man, and so you've got like this fearful respect going on. Herodias, well, she wants blood, you know, and so Herod is protecting him. You know, it's this very tedious situation. John the Baptist, he hasn't done anything wrong. He's always pointed people to Jesus. You know, he prepared the way for Jesus the Messiah. John is the one that baptizes Jesus in the Jordan River. And then he tells all of his followers, he says, quit following me and follow Jesus. John stands up for truth. He's doing the right thing. He's God honoring with what he's doing. And it lands him in prison. And so if I'm John, and I try and put myself in the stories sometimes, I'm thinking, now wait a minute. I'm being faithful to Jesus. You know, I'm honoring God. I think everything's going to be okay. John, he's in prison. He's praying. And he waits. He's waiting for Jesus to do something. He's waiting for Jesus to maybe perform a miracle. You know, he's waiting for God to perhaps send angels and create an earthquake or something, and so that all the doors of the prison are opened up and break the chains, set him free. But Jesus doesn't come. God didn't stage a breakout. Jesus just keeps ministering to the crowds, and John waits. It's a sound of silence in that cell. Despite John's zeal for God, he shows that he's human here because he starts questioning the situation. You know, Matthew records this. It says, now when John heard in prison about the things that Jesus was doing, so John's waiting in prison. Apparently some of Jesus' disciples, they're visiting him in prison. They're telling John about all the things that Jesus is doing. You know, Jesus performed this miracle. John, it's amazing. He's healing people. You should have been there. He sends word by his disciples to Jesus asking, he's asking Jesus this, are you the one who's to come, or should we look for another? John's been preaching, preparing the way. He's been faithful, but now he's sitting in prison and he's starting to question things. You know, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe Jesus isn't who I thought he was. And so he sends word back to Jesus and just asks a simple question. Are you the one or not? In other words, are you the Messiah or not? Let me tell you what Jesus did not do. He did not say, well, sure, I'm the one. Don't sweat it. I'll be there about midnight. I'll break you out. You know, no, he doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't even really answer the question. Scripture says, Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. Blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Prisoners are set free. Oh no, that's not there, is it? The next verse, to me, it's difficult to kind of process this, but it says, then give him this message. Here's what he sends back to him. Blessed are those who do not doubt me. Are you kidding? You're healing people. You're doing miracles for strangers. And what I get is, you know, you're blessed if you don't doubt. It doesn't make any sense. You know, John though, he continues to faithfully, he's waiting and waiting. And meanwhile, Herod throws a kegger. You know, everybody's partying. You know, they're drinking. Okay, they get drunk, all right? Story gets really, really weird. Herodias' daughter, Salome, she dances for all the guests. And I don't know what it consisted of, but when it was over, King Herod loved it. You know, he's drunk. He loves everybody, right? He loves everything. He's not thinking clear. And so he, in kind of an attempt, he's showing off for the crowd. He tells this young girl, he says, that dance was amazing. In fact, so amazing, you ask anything of me and it's yours. All right? She's a teenager. I think he figured, oh, okay, she's going to want a new iPhone or, you know, Taylor Swift concert tickets or something like that. No. She goes to her mom. Mom, what should I ask for? Remember, Herodias, she's got a grudge. She goes, I don't know. How about John the Baptist's head on a platter? She returns to the king. She goes, I would like John the Baptist's head on a platter, please. He can't say no. He's made this big spectacle of things. And this is where the plot in the story, it takes a big turn. You know, as the guards are about to kill him, the ground starts shaking. You know, the doors of the cell, they're shaken open. Angels appear. They strike the guards blind, and the chains fall off, and he walks out of the cell. He's got his face painted. He goes, "Freedom!" You know, yeah. He went on, had a great life, got married, had a dog named Herodias. Wait a minute, that's the Hallmark version of that story, isn't it? That is not what happened. I mean, that kind of thing had happened other places. Other times there were earthquakes that rumbled. Angels appeared, jail cells were broke open, but that's not what happened for John. You know, it's a terrible situation. And here's what really happened. Herod, he's struggling with this promise that he made to this young girl. And at some point he decides an oath is an oath, and it's got to be honored. And so it says immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went, beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and then the girl gave it to her mother. It's silent in here, isn't it? Ugh. I'll be honest, this part of the story has always troubled me. I avoided even speaking on this part of the story for most of my ministry. It is not how it's supposed to end. You know, John the Baptist, who was faithful, I mean, he served Jesus. He was always deferring to Jesus. You know, "I'll be less so that you can be more, Jesus." You know, he was always saying and doing the right things. He wanted to just diminish himself so that Jesus would be increased to the crowds. John the Baptist that understood from the very beginning that he wasn't even worthy to touch the sandals of Jesus. He prepares the way. "Don't follow me. You follow him. This is what it's about." Jesus had the power to rescue him, but John's executed instead. It's a sound of silence. It doesn't fit our American idea of Christianity. You know, where I get promotion. You know, where I'm protected. You know, where I overcome the situation. It's not the story that you want to share, like in small group. It does not feel right, and it does not end right. The story leaves you kind of numb. And the silence is overwhelming. Friends, I want you to disconnect for a minute. All right, emotionally, because this story draws it out of you. But let's look from a different perspective. Here's what we know. John the Baptist was born to prepare the way for Jesus. He did that, didn't he? He pointed people to Jesus. He baptized Jesus. Everything John did was to usher in the ministry of Jesus, the Messiah. John fulfilled God's purpose, but it did not turn out how John planned. You know, Proverbs says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart." Here's what I want. I really want this. But it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. You may have plans. I mean, John did, didn't he? You may have plans. You may have a lot of plans in your life. But the Lord's purpose will prevail. I have made a lot of plans in my life. And I can tell you that many, many times, in fact, more than I can count, things did not turn out like I planned. You know, I've been told I won't make it. I've been told I couldn't cut it, you know. I've been frustrated and confused and hurt and broken. I have lost so many times, I just quit counting. My plans didn't plan out. But God's purpose prevails. Friends, there are things that have happened to people that I love, people that I have prayed for. I didn't understand it at the time. Some of them I still don't understand. But God's purpose prevails. I do not live in despair because I trust God. I trust God's word. God's word is always true. Things may not go the way that I desire, I want, I plan. But because God, in my mind, is silent doesn't mean he's absent. God is always working, you know, accomplishing his purpose. God's purpose will prevail. And here's what I want you to grasp. You do not have to understand the plan to trust God's purpose. You don't have to like the plan to trust God's purpose. And the fact is, some of you are dealing with some really big stuff, personal stuff. Some of you are praying, and you look and you go, it's not getting any better. And you've prayed and prayed and prayed. You've had your friends praying, and nothing. It's a sound of silence. Why is this happening? And let's just be honest. I mean, if you're like me, I want to know the plan. I just want to know the plan. You know, what's the plan? You know, where's this going? If you just tell me the plan. Friends, you got to get this. You do not have to understand the plan to trust God's purpose. God is good. God's always good. And we do not interpret the goodness of God through our circumstances. We interpret our circumstances through God's goodness. See, it changes things. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. In other words, his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are wiser than my thoughts. I am not the center of everything. It's not about me. In fact, I'm here to serve God and to give God glory with my life. But it's a matter of trust. Trusting God's purpose. If you fast forward in Jesus' life, Garden of Gethsemane, he knows, Jesus knows the cross is before him, that his time is very limited at this point. Scripture says that he cried out in the garden, you know, Father, remove this cup of suffering. This is not my plan. You know, if there's any other way, Lord, you know, Father, please let me take it. But not my plan, your purpose, not my will, but your will be done. And if you know the story, Jesus is arrested that night, unjustly convicted. I mean, it was a kangaroo court, basically. He gets beaten so badly, Scripture says that there was so much blood, and he'd been beaten so bad that he was almost unrecognizable. Then they put him on a cross, shoved a crown on his head, you know, nailed his hands and feet to that cross. And then he hung there in shame. People spit on him, mocked him. And there's a point where Jesus is dying. And he cries out to heaven, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, I would add, why are you silent? God, why don't you speak, Father? Why don't you do something? It's a sound of silence. And just because God was silent doesn't mean he wasn't present. You know, doesn't mean he was absent from it. The fact is, here we are 2,000 years later almost. Everything that our faith depends on centers around a moment when God was silent. In other words, God loved us so much that he let his son suffer and die. And it was not what the disciples had planned. It did not make any sense to them. But friends, God's purpose prevailed. His ways are higher and wiser. God's purpose would change eternity. You know, when God doesn't make sense and you cry out, you know, God, heal them, please. I need your help. I need a miracle. I need you to make a way. God always hears your prayers. Always. And he may respond in a mighty way, in a supernatural way. You may see God's goodness displayed. You know, when he answers your prayer, when he does more than you could ask or imagine. But there are other times when your plans, your prayer, doesn't go the way you think it should go. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose prevails. Here's the thought. Don't put your faith in your plans. Trust God. You do not have to understand the plan. Just trust God. God is present. God is working. His purpose will prevail. His ways are higher, wiser, better. Trust God's goodness. Even when it doesn't make sense, trust God in the silence. I'm not saying it's easy. Anybody that knows me very well, I've through the years kept kind of a journal of, okay, when I get to heaven, I'm asking God this, stuff that I just go, I can't make sense of it. Here's what I know. That day I step into heaven, I don't know if I'd have my notebook anyway, but I know what's going to happen in that moment. I'm going to see things clearly. I'm going to go, now I understand. But this side, it doesn't make any sense to me. Prince, trust God. Trust God. Trust God. even when it makes no sense at all. Let's bow in prayer. Our holy God, I know there's some here today that they're carrying some heavy, heavy stuff. God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would just whisper. Let them know you hear them. That you're with them. God, all of us here, we do a lot of planning. A lot of times things don't go the way we plan. God, help us to trust you, even when we don't understand. God, help us to trust your purpose, your ways, even when it's hard. God, just help us to trust you more. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. God's people said, let's stand. Let's worship and give God our best.